Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
And I'm a real estate agent.
And I love it here. This is great. This is home.
This
home
is excellent. Home away from home.
Actually, he's home as well at the same time.
It is. We go to his expensive studio.
And Jez is back behind the camera. Right. 15K. What's in 15K?
15K, mate. It is the world's largest distance between a sail and not a sail.
Like a sailing boat and another sailing boat?
In Denmark, over the horizon, or the Flat Earth community, whichever you see yourself in.
No, yeah, we have a bit of a joke there, but we, and hopefully from the title of the episode. So really what we're talking about here is, like, 15 grand is 15 grand. It can make or break a deal, like 5 grand, 10, yep. 15 grand can make or break a deal. However, there's a psychology thing that I think real estate agents and buyers agents utilize that can sort of, not take it away, but put a different perspective. Why don't you share the audience?
So the perspective is, and I'll just use a simple number maybe for a first home buyer because it might be a little bit more touchy with them with price.
I'm not joking.
Is just say you go to purchase a property in the Sydney market, which you could still do for $700,000, and you might be at the $700,000 mark, give or take, and the owners or the vendors...
So you're negotiating with an auction or whatever. It's up to $700,000.
And the...
Not with you. Someone else has bid that much.
Yeah. And the owner's like, you need to get maybe to $707,000. And you're like, that's another $7,000. And you're thinking this is the end of the world. Like, you know...
You might be thinking that's like 2 months rent, 2 months salary or something.
And... A way that potentially from a buyer's perspective, if this property is the one for you, instead of trying to need to look for another 3, 6, 9 months, and it might be like, do you know what? That's only 1% of the purchase price, which is probably not going to matter in a year, in 2, in 3 years.
Yep.
Now, once again, different story. If you are actually capped, you've already grabbed all the money from your friends and family. But I think I come across a lot of situations where people have the capacity to keep going. And if they just took a step back and realized, wait a second, at the end of the day, this is only 1% of the purchase price. This is only 0.5% of the purchase price.
Yeah, it still means $7,000. And I hear you, because another way of looking at it is like, there's been periods of time, and we may face it again soon, where the whole market in a month might go up by 1%.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of the median house price might go up. Or in the last year, as we've seen, it went up by about 3.5%. So you go, that 1% of the deal to get it done at the auction, at the end of the year, you could be 2.5% up.
Exactly.
But you think about percentage, it's sort of easy to understand. Whereas someone goes, give me $7,000, that's a much tougher thing, I think, from human to comprehend.
Yeah. And so I just think from a real estate agent where I'm seeing, so you work with individual buyers.
Correct.
I get to see buyers as a whole, and I've seen buyers still looking a year, 2 years later, even from when I first came into real estate.
I've seen them do because they walk into my door
and you know, you're still looking
within a few weeks.
And often, sometimes they're using the excuse, and it is an excuse at the end of the day. Oh, we haven't quite found the right property, or we're trying to wait for the market to come down,
or we really liked 142 North Street, and you're like, that sold 2 years ago, and it's now worth 60k, 100k, 200k more.
And it's just.
No longer in the price bracket.
Yeah, and for me is if you are cut out, you've got no money, it's okay, cool. You've done everything you can to secure. But for people that have more of the money, I just think, you know, not getting taken for a ride or paying way over the top, because it does come a limit. But if you like the property, you want it, really do think about it, is paying this extra 1%, even 2%, depending on the level. Like the more you're getting into like the $2-4 million range, and it's probably going to be more 0.5% or 0.2%. Yep. But it's just really think about, is this extra 10, 15, 20 grand at the end of the day, do I want to throw away the deal? And then some people may do a counterpoint and be like, yeah, Kurt, what about your vendors? Like, how come they can't come down? And the thing is, we're having that discussion. I'm having that discussion with the vendors too.
Because you're not saying to them, drop their price by 7%. You're then saying to them, sorry, $7,000. You're saying, look, they're just 1% off.
Yeah.
We've achieved 99% of what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I imagine you're using that language rather than saying, yeah, look, they're $7,000 off.
Well, probably when it comes to a vendor, you can use the percentages, but sometimes it comes to a point where the numbers actually make a bit more sense.
Okay,
so not always, and it depends on the person you're dealing with as well. So it each depends, but sometimes it might be like, look, guys, $5,000 off it, we're going to keep pushing. But our recommendation would be, if this was to our own family or that, to take it. Decision's still up to yours, but we're literally $5,000 off, $7,000. And then might chuck in, that's when we might chuck in the zero. Look, we're 0.2% off where you want to be. Do we want to?
Yeah, look, I have scenarios with my buyers where, let's say they've approved, let's just say an example, they've approved $2 million as a budget, right? And we're through the negotiations and we believe, not that it's done, not that we've got a verbal agreement, but we're getting all the indication the agent, let's say 1.9 is basically agreed. It's not 100% agreed, basically agreed. And I always say to my buyers, look, that doesn't mean the end of the... Sometimes I don't even tell them what's going on, right? Because I've seen too often that other buyers, other things come up that then go, you actually need to pay the $2 million. But then your buyers, if they've heard all that, they've heard 1.9 is possible, even though before getting negotiation, they were happy to spend two, they sort of get linked to this 1.9 thing. Well, we had it agreed at 1.9, so or thereabouts, I don't want to pay a two. And I've got to, if they are aware of that, I've got to educate and go, remember prior to this all starting, you said two was good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's forget the 1.9. 1.9 is great, but it's not there anymore. This is now here. We should go. I think a lot of buyers who don't have a buyer's agent do that. So they might actually have more than what's actually going to lose them the deal, but they sort of get linked to a number through conversations or illusion or whatever it is. And then they trip over themselves. And then guess what? They miss out. And 3 months, 6 months later, they're still looking.
And for me, it's often buyers probably creating a fantasy in their head about they think they could get the property for a certain price. They start picturing themselves in this property, creating a storyline, and that they've bought it for this price. Right. And the moment you start creating emotions, it's harder to get out.
I think it's where agents do play a part, rightly or wrongly, of playing on emotions and basically saying to buyers, look, that 1.9, I think that basically does it. Like, that's amazing offer. We should use that. That is commendable. I can't believe you got there. That's great. Look, I'm feeling really confident about this. And the buyer goes in their head, oh, great, we're there. And then that agent comes back and goes, needs to be a two. The tricky part is that buyer is then being almost envisioning himself in the property for 1.9.
Can I say, I didn't think, I thought you were going somewhere totally different with that. Right. Not exactly sure. But when you started speaking, I was like, I've just given the thumbs up before about what you're going to say. I was like, so for me, I think some agents do that. For us, I find it easier and I think it's better for the negotiation is, depending where we're guiding and depending where the offer is we try and keep all parties very level-headed. Because I've had it before where we think a deal, you said, okay, a deal is going to be coming, it's getting closed, and then one party changes their mind, both whether buyer or vendor, and it can just melt everything down. Like even when we call up all the buyers, get the vendor reports, even if someone says, we're hot, we want this property, we actually will tone it down a bit in the report because we know that buyer on Wednesday could find something else.
Yeah.
They could then disappear. And even though some people might be like, yeah, but Kurt, the vendor should know that buyer was on Monday. But if you've ever been a vendor, the emotional roller coaster go on.
And I do sympathize that because we've had time. I've had literally time like 2 weeks ago. We were getting quite close to putting an offer on a property, really starting the negotiations. And then literally my call to the agent, like within 24 hours was, I'm sorry, we're no longer in this. And within another 24 hours, we'd purchase something else.
Yeah.
Because this new property came up that was better as a comparable from there.
And so even, and just to follow on, like as a vendor, it's like we've got options. You can put they're cold, they're warm, or they're hot.
Mm.
Basically never put hot on a vendor report because just people can pull out, people can change, and we want to make sure the vendors aren't having too much of a roller coaster because they're already nervous about everything.
Yep.
But we also, you know, we know the buyers, you know, we don't want a buyer realizing they've actually found the right property a day later, and we wouldn't want them jumping on the we don't want them buying something incorrect. So it's all about managing expectations.
A lot of expectations.
And to round it off into the percentages, I think at the end of the day, it's like, is this worth losing over 1%, 2%, 0.5%? Is it worth dropping your pride if it's the property for you?
Yep, I would agree. I agree. Percentage is a great way of looking at these numbers, particularly as in the market we're in, and that is Sydney. Okay, three quick cues.
Yep, three quick cues.
Fun game. Well, This is a...
Chris has got Alzheimer's, everyone, so sometimes Google loses the plot a bit.
Google feud.
Google feud.
Right, so very simple. I got a question that I've started to write into Google.
Yep,
and then it's populated the rest of it with another word. It's only one word, and I'm going to give you four different words.
Okay.
Right? The sentence and the word at the end. Each of these words were there. Your job is to pick up the number one search word that when you type Google, it comes to the top. Okay. Tomato sauce is good for weight loss. Tomato sauce is good for dogs. These are the top four answers. Tomato sauce is good for babies. Tomato sauce is good for health. Which one of those is the number one predictive text in Google?
You got health and weight loss.
And then dog and baby.
I think dog and baby are going to be down the bottom.
Okay.
Maybe even two and three. I'm going to go health is probably a... I'm probably wrong here, but health for weight loss is number one.
So close, my friend. So close. Oh. Health was number one. Weight loss was number two, actually. Is it normal to have a fear? This is the next one. Is it normal to have a fear of driving? Is it normal to have a fear of death? Is it normal to have a fear of heights? Is it normal to have a fear of dying?
Death and dying are
there. I just put the top four in there. I can't get to choose them. We should do like make you a millionaire with one of these questions. You can go, can we remove two answers?
Yeah, true. I think...
So driving, death, yeah. Height, dying.
No, height I don't think is one because...
But it is one, but it may not be number
one. Yeah, not number one. I think driving.
Dying.
I said dying.
You did.
No, actually, that's a lie. I said driving.
Last one, which you're going to get a kick out of. Why are you walking? Why are you running? Why are you blue? Why are you green? There was another answer I removed from this, but anyway. Why are you walking, running, blue or green?
Can I say what answer I want?
No. Can you have to
why are you green is number one.
Incorrect. Yeah, all three out. Why are you running? I gave you the option that I want. Thank you all for dropping by.
If you want to guess what we're thinking, the other one is, why are you?
Put check a out an
in. That's your homework. In the comments, I want you to write out, why are you? And what word do you think comes after that?
Just don't Google it. Thank you all for dropping by.
That was fun.
That was good.